por ese ministro mío. You have spent your, no, yeah, let me say 30 minutes. If I say other things, it might put me in trouble. You've got your 30 minutes. you can continue your presentation with the 30 minutes.
Thank you, sir. We're taking heed of the time, and we wanted just to not to disappoint you with the 90 minutes that you gave other colleagues. Chair, the next one that we wanted to speak to is a broadband infrastructure rollout. Past financial year, we came to before the members indicated that there is a project in Singa, in KwaZulu-Natal. That project took us to have all industry players to come and view the area and be able to then say how they can help it to have those 160,000 inhabitants of that area to be giving access, government entities, schools, clinics in the area. There are about 107 schools that will be connected. We have a service provider that we have chosen as an SMME. There is a lot of groups that come from Singa being able to run the infrastructure. And with the operators, we're just going to speak to them about where there are still gaps in terms of them upgrading their radios to 3G if possible. So that we'll have more information later when you come back to the portfolio committee, because there's a lot of work that has been done and it's going to be done soon. Now, coming to the current financial year, we are given 9 million rands to do a broadband infrastructure. Now, the submissions and the bids that we received during seeing a call for expression of interest range between 10 to 40 million. And that's because the terrain, I'm told, is hilly and the likes. Now, we said if 9 million has been allocated for the current financial year, whilst we are waiting for the areas to be declared under serviced, how do we spend money on broadband infrastructure in an area? Which area should we do? First, we had Emalahleni in the Eastern Cape. We've done extensive work there. Giyani, we did make extensive work. But then came an opportunity. A city of Tzaneen, local municipality, approached us and said, we have received from the neighborhood grant that comes from Treasury an amount of about 5 million. We wanted to extend that to assist us to cover some of the sites. Now, how would we then could partner with yourselves? We had CSR Meraka, and we then said, fine, let's take a look at it. The chairperson and some of the colleagues went and saw the executive manager so that they understand what happens in the area of UNSA. Now, we ended up saying, perhaps if we spend the money with another local municipality as a co-funder and a partner, we could be able to cover those schools and areas. And then we'll be then be talking to the latter group, which is your licensed network operators, to how they can contribute. Looking at the funding might not be sufficient. But that's how the rationale of choosing one site where we can expand all energies and put up everything that we do. We have started with the stakeholder relations, and there's been great progress in that particular space. One thing that I want to say in this area is whenever you target an area, the stakeholder relation is quite key. You have to extensively spend your time talking to all the stakeholders, coming from a provincial political head up to the administration, and see how we can best do it. That's the rationale we came up to Tzaneen. It's not that we did it out of just putting up a drop in your head and said how we do. Now, what we're going to be testing it up to be other operators being able to come to the party, what will be the implications, how they can contribute, because we're starting to see a trend that as we choose sites as experimental, operators as well want to come in and then make their contributions, particularly when it relates to upgrading their radios sometimes in those particular areas. So the others that we would want to speak to is we have done feasibility study of the following sites. There's one in Muyesha that we've done the business case on. There's no funding. Emalahleni, that's in the Eastern Cape, not Emalahleni in Mpumalanga, but the one in near Dordrecht in Lady Freya. Manterere, which is up in the northwest near the Northam area. Greater Giyani, again, covering both. It could be coming closer to Tzaneen at some point, but that's the idea is to extend that. It could cover Greater Giyani, which gives about over 150 schools connected if you go there. Husky and Bani in the northern Cape area, and this is where the Bloodhound is happening. Yeah? There is a international event happening in this particular town. Husky and Pan. the Bloodhound. It's the British, I think, and there's a lot of international media that will be looking at it, where they will be testing the speed of a car against the jet. That's happening in December. It's one big area. So what the province has said, perhaps what they want to do as a legacy is to leave connectivity in that area. So there are other operators who have expressed interest to go there and explore connectivity. Francis Bart again, these are the business cases that we have, Chair, we don't have money for. And we'd want members to consider them, that if after looking at the business cases, that as they look into the whole business plan, we have in an annex covered that these are the immediate ones, that if money was available, we could go out there and do it. The second thing that we've done is, when we looked at the list of underserviced data, these areas that I'm speaking to are part of the group of underserviced data that might come up. Because there is a list, the tentative list gives us about 198, 200 sites that might just be declared as such. Quickly, underserviced, the public access centers, we have a project in the business plan called Rapid Deployment. But it really talks to new public access centers. The model, when we took over from office, we found that it called for a tender where service providers came and said they will make a center and then manage them with entrepreneurs or CBOs, and then from there make them sustainable. Now, to date, we have about 23 that are about to be launched, and some of them we'll share with members soon once we have finalized in the project plan, particularly the launches that might just be happening. This particular project, the current allocation is 19.8 million. We will be slightly changed to find partnerships with many an initiative. One of the mobile operators have already indicated their keenness for us to join them up, or for them to join us to then develop sites. There's also a legacy project coming from FIFA. That is legacy project that want us to join us, and it gives us more sites. And there are other initiatives the department wants to deal with that give us more sites. What we are committed on the business plan is that if the money with the current unit cost that we had will give us 44 centers. But we are saying we're in discussions now just to finalize paperwork where we could be guaranteed more sites that we do a list of underserviced data that we're welcome to share with members should the need arise. That is just to look at it and how it might be sustainable in the future. The 23 sites that I spoke to you about, we have done a concept document. Look at what the minister spoke about in his 11 November statement, that there will be ICT hubs. And then we said, maybe if we do ICT hubs, which are bigger structures in a province that just to be hooked into the smaller areas and support them, this will be done in line with Meraka E-Skills Institute's, what they call them, knowledge hubs. So we then did a concept which we have to test with them to say, does it fit their requirements? Because it's a knowledge hub, they have universities participating, they have private sector participating. Now we've done a concept document that must do the costing, decide on the future, how it might just well be that it is a sustainable concept. The project that we said is handover, again, our view is when it was thought of, handover meant we do not, as an implementer, run a center because we are not doing the best of services with it. Because the previous model was, would put up a center, put the computers, do the connectivity, then try to then look for training, then try to then leave, then look for business for the center. We're hoping communities will come and do faxing and internet, but that's proven not to be successful. And now we said, how do we do it better? It means locally there must be the demand issues that are there. Now who do it better than other partners that you must bring on board? One, if a municipality is interested, what is its interest? Can they maybe say, this is a building, we'll house this center here so we don't pay rent. That's all we don't do. And then other partners says, I will then accredit, which is Microsoft, your Cisco's, then come and say, we'll adopt the center to run with it. Now, on this legacy thing was then, you then sign up an MOU of management of the center. We have done the SEs, which is what we did. We then bought some equipment to close up the gaps. But the third level is that we started to then have MOUs developed. City of Ekuruleni is giving us connectivity, is taking care of connectivity to all the sites in Ekuruleni, using their own network. The Section 21 company, Siafunda, is one that is another partner that's come on board. It provides management, it creates demand in terms of training, it manages that. It trains the center manager. They have Cisco as well as knowledge centers. They've trained those people. So we are coming in with them, and that becomes a four-party approach. That's in Ekurhuleni. I think in Mdantsane we have a center in Mdantsane that also the municipality has taken, and it's doing well. And well as you know, members have seen the one in the Inc. one in Tuzuma. That's what you saw as well. We want to work on those type of models and start to have partners coming on board. So we've done the training. The past financial year, we'll share notes and the points on it. But the handover should be that it's not a handover abdicating responsibility. It's a project that seeks partners to join us. We won't want to leave that. This is just a process that tells you where we are at with the project. Phase three was to do training skill. We've done that. And then disbursements and agreements, that's what we are busy trying to find the best model for each site. May I also talk about also a process where we found during this discussion that the partnership we are working on now is in another area of the Harris Smith, where the Free State Premier has shown interest in ICT hubs, and also the local municipality, as well as ISS CETA, as well as Damage, I think it was Internet Solution then, and other players that have shown interest. They've given us a building, so we're not put up a building, but we're saying we're doing connectivity. What is being put up is the management system, and we are hoping that we'll finalize on the paperwork, but it's up and ready to deal with the local demand issues. The second one was in the northern area where Anglo has put up a building for a community in Manserere. That's what they've done. They put up a building. They have us as partners, Moses Kotani, a municipality, as well as the local traditional leadership. That's the type of model we want to encourage, where there's a lot of those local partners coming on board. There's many other models that we work with, but the project is on track that by September we should have most of those things done. In terms of contribution to job creation, some of the estimates that we've made is that 528 temporary jobs are created through the construction of access center. That is on the sites of the rapid deployment where we actually do the buildings, because some sites, as some members have noted, there is nothing in that village. You have to put a structure from ground up. Temporary jobs have been created when you do the sites of installation. The model in the future I prefer one where local suppliers have been chosen in the future, so that there's more direct relation between the center and the local business, so we can have better estimates. In Msinga itself, we would have about 25 community access centers that have been erected. And then this is part of the partners that we have there is Sanva in terms of Msinga in the iCafes. And we think that this type of model is quite good. And then we think the BDM strategy, for all intents and purposes, will be able to do temporary jobs of about 1,000. What we did not have, and what the committee to note, is that the following priority of the minister is not addressed in the USAF due to limited baseline allocation, which is what I spoke to. That we have received during the provinces that they want to connect schools, but we don't have the required funding to do most of those school connectivity areas. And the model we want to encourage is what we've seen in Msinga. You cover the whole entire area, 107 schools, people have connectivity. It's not one institution, but the police, the health, it's one 10-key approach. That's what we want to encourage. So we think the business cases that we present from the provinces should be able to give us a sense. We are busy with in the partnership with 2010 Legacy. They want to put some structures, and the discussions in May, latest June, would have finalized on our interaction in terms of the workshop and finalizing it. E-Skills as well, we are doing a pilot with E-Skills Institute, which has got all the players like universities and international players. And I think that's a model that will make our centers to be successful in the future, because they get to be designed in a manner that there's demand, they manage it, and we have centers that are being used for the purpose that they're meant for. Disability I've spoken about, we did not get the budget, and I think it's an area we will take back to the department in terms of their strategy that they said they're developing with people with disabilities, and the relation that would have struck with ICASA when it does its disability regulation. Those two institutions' movement on that will assist, because TV access devices with people with disabilities would help in those areas such as closed captioning and the like that we people with disabilities have expressed that they might be able to deal with it. Then smartphones, Meraka has developed a product that could help a certain level of people with disabilities, and it's a question of testing that concept, hence the smartphone portion. The connectivity, we have noted, Centec has expressed that they will be doing some connectivity, but it's a discussion that we think it needs further unpacking as to how in the future that will impact for the rest of the for the country, and how would other partners come through, in particular the license operator, in keeping with the mandate. Now, that's a USASA budget. We've just, you know, put it together. The key issues, which is on the research cost, it was high in 2010-2011. It's 2011-12, it's 2.750. Set-top box, it's for capacity. When we do the rollout, there will be a lot of support required and a lot of work required in terms of dealing with the stakeholders in all provinces, managing all those related logistical approach that I've spoken about as back office. And also corporate, you just put up all the stakeholder-related budgets together. So in a business plan, you might find in certain areas with certain yield, but when you go to USASA budget, that's where it's been catered for. And staff costs increment, showing that there's a staff increase that has been there. And then last year we came back and said we're doing an ERP system, an integrated solution. So now we're starting to show that this is just the maintenance portion thereof. And administrative costs have increased with the number of offices and officials that we have in place. That's what we'll do. Monitoring evaluation is key. It's now going to be catered here under research, where we talk about projects on research. Outcome of the universal service and access strategy. This is the key issue that will be taken to the ministry, to actual members, to us, the public, to discuss those pillars 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then we extracted from it that there needs to be a study on feasibility of broadband, and that study is what is catered for the 2.7. We might find other partners who might be able to put in more. If ICASA is doing the similar study, or DOC is doing the same, we'd want to join forces. We'd want to put up a GIS and an audit report on all public access facilities, because it helps us to have all of them mapped out, and then when you have them mapped out, you now know which areas require priority. These are research which projects we do not have funding, and we want members just to note them, and I'm sure some members might want to speak to. I'm trying to make sure that I cover up the key next steps. We want to have access to further funding that are in projects that have been outlined in our business plan, particularly the additional projects, because we believe that those interaction with provinces will assist us to meet our mandate, will assist us to start to stabilize what is the need out there for ICT implementation, and also that it could assist us to then put up that business case that Treasury has always said we need a business case. If we have all the rules ready, rules of engagement, rules of interaction, we believe that we can be able to then state claim to the funding that sits in the National Revenue Fund with a concerted effort that the provinces should be able to get it. But we must start with the first step. There's a period now between now and June where we could have a contribution into the MTEF, and we're intending that whatever base case, business case studies that you've provided, we should be able to provide them at the time. And if this business plan has been considered, would want the business plan also to be considered against the request for additional funding as a key area. We believe that we must start to unlock the using and the USAF. It has been that we spoke about the USAF, we must be able to start unlocking it. And if the rules are agreed to, this year it must be the first point where we have a better access to it, or the rules are giving us a sense of a better access in the future. But we must have that access. We have now put ourselves in a nation, as a facilitator. I've spoken about it, and that's when I say, Prof, we want to just close on this slide for me, and then from there, we then finally.
Thank you, CEO. Chairperson, you see, we're trying to make best use of the remaining 9 minutes according to our stopwatch. So, honourable members, in terms of the business plan that we have on the table, in terms of the corporate 3-year corporate strategy that we've discussed outlined at the bottom, we see the agency, and we want to emphasise that this is, we don't just see ourselves being associated with putting in infrastructure, public access centres, broadband projects, etc. But rather, we begin to see ourselves as being an enabler of socio-economic development through ICTs. So it's in that context, and you take the context of the ECA as it positions the agency, that we are vested with a role to facilitate this development. And if you look at the shareholders' key goals and strategic vision, it speaks to the development of the people through ICTs, and we believe we support that role. So, therefore, honourable members, the agency feels that we are a key stakeholder in the fight against poverty and underdevelopment. And our projects and actions then are being geared to speak towards those. As you would have heard from the CEO in respect of the projects and the stakeholders, that we are investing our efforts where we know that they are programmed with substantive outcomes in respect of social or economic development. And that is how we are moving forward. So the projects then, members, are demonstrative of the seriousness of our intent and the action thereto. And we put before you then, members, that USASA has turned the corner, and we believe that we are ready to achieve on our 2020 vision, which is indeed possible, that every person, man, woman, and child, be it in Gauteng or the Kalahari, will be able to study, communicate, etc., through the medium of ICTs. So I would like to hand over to our chairperson for the final closing remarks then. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I would just like to highlight on the, I think the CEO from time to time has been saying here is the projects, and then we need funding for that. So when you look on our business plan, it's in twofold. The other part address the baseline. The other part on the business plan, which has been referred as an extra, it's the projects that came from the provinces. And then we are saying, as USASA, like if you go every corner of the country, even people will be always saying, USASA, you are saying that you don't have money, but we as network operators, we are contributing to ICASA. Now we as USASA, we are saying now at this we are ready. Here is the business case for additional projects. Now Treasury unlock the use of funding. We want to start utilizing that money. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. One thing which I'm sure of is that we are out of Hollywood. We are no longer having actors. That's what I can confirm. The rest will be guided by the members, Member Magazi and Seb.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair. Eggman, Let me start, Chair, by asking a question. During the middle, in the middle of the presentation, the CEO said they want or they are going to have a workshop with the DOC to share the strategic plan if I am correct, to share this strategic plan on their priorities. And if that is the case, Chair, and you look at the strategic plan, said document, if that is the case, Chair, then there is a problem in terms of coordinating the draft, I will call it a draft strategic plan from the SOEs feeding to the strategy of the DOC. I am saying this, Chair, the reason. If you look at this document that has been presented, the thing that IUSASA is going to do, actually, it's the department who are supposed to elaborate these things in their strategy. So what I'm saying, Chair, it's vice versa. But in any case, I think it shows, Chair, the assertiveness or the energy that our SOEs, some of our SOEs, they want to actually move fast in terms of implementing the government's mandate or priorities. That's one. This is what I want to say, Chair. So for me, it's a problem. Because when each department it comes in front of us, we assume that all the SOEs, they've actually communicated, they've made input to the departmental strategy. I'm sorry, Chair, to, you know, in a diplomatic way, show these things, those weaknesses. Pardon me.
You see, the challenge is that your question need to be answered before we proceed. So that we are clear exactly what has been said around the issue of the strategic plan, because that will help us in terms of how do we proceed. Yusuf?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Member, for the question. Chairperson, I think maybe there's a misunderstanding in terms of there is ongoing meetings, workshops between us and the shareholder still coming. But as far as this is concerned, we've made our inputs, we've had our respective meetings with the shareholder, we've had our meeting with the minister to discuss the business plan. Our plan has been informed by the shareholder's intent. And as one of our slides indicated, the alignment between our strategic objectives and that of the shareholder, that the shareholder has been leading, and the projects and our business plan itself has been informed by the intent of the shareholder. So that has been done already. But I think the CEO may have alluded to further workshops that are and discussions that are taking place around issues like key projects relating to, for example, digital migration, etc. That's about the crux of the work going forward. But in terms of the formulation of this, it has indeed been done in consultation with the shareholder. They've made inputs, we've had exchanges, and that's where we are at this point. I hope that clears it up. Thanks, Chair.
No, thanks. That helped us to understand the status of the document. That's why I said we need to pass that one first so that we are clear. What you are dealing with. Members, Ndabeni, Tsebe, Makazi,
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thanks to the presenters for their presentation. On page 16 of your PowerPoint presentation on Project Broadband Infrastructure, I just want to know, are you working with CENTEC in the programs that you are engaging in? I can see you've worked with municipalities, you've listed and all that. Do you just go to those municipalities, or you first have consultative meetings with CENTEC, as they are also tasked with the responsibility of broadband and they share a number of spectrum, or a huge number of spectrum? The second one is just Chair, again, on the template, number of items and objectives are fine. But I just want to make an example, probably, so that everybody gets clear when one gets back. According to my own understanding, when I talk of a strategic objective from the ANC perspective, like they would we would like to improve people's lives. That's our strategic objective. Then when I move to the indicator, I make it aware that people have access to quality housing, quality healthcare facilities, and education. That's my indicator, because I want to improve people's lives. Then I go to the measures, quality of numbers. I mean, quality of number of houses that have been built, so that I achieve that. I don't just put houses, but the quality of number that has been built, that's my measure. Then I go to target. I say, out of the 50,000 people from this community, 20% of that will be delivered. If we can take it in that context. The last time I used to do this thing in Dungeons and Dragons, I'm not sure if it has been improved. The template is changed now and then, and there are meanings. But that's how I understand it. Just a little thing on page 39, it's more than anything. Page 39. Or firstly, page 32. I see even there you said access to ICT services and infrastructure on your SO. I would be happy if, well, I'm not sure whether you want to provide that or you want to improve. We want you to help us by putting clear objectives so that you are able to monitor, in so much that when you get your bonuses, we say indeed you deserve it based on what is being put down there. I'm not sure whether you want to improve the access or you want to provide, but if you can put a clear thing. Then again, because whoever was doing this knew exactly what he was doing or she was doing, but decided to be mischievous somewhere. On page 39, I don't understand, how do you ensure in a target? If you put a target and you say you want to ensure, what does it mean? How do we ensure a target, as I explained earlier? I'm fine with ensuring in your objective, but then when you come to a target-based level, you can't ensure. So if you can look into those small things so that we do our work effectively. Thank you, Chair. The last thing, Chair, on your relations with municipalities with regards to the projects that you are involved with, are they part of the IDPs, those projects, or is they are just parachuted, or they just come whatever way that you do them in a halabad way? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much, Sasa. In terms of your presentation, I've checked you have covered most of the things that have been raised before by members. But still, in regard to the sustainability of the project themselves and the maintenance of part and our relationship with the departments, especially at local level, to ensure that this project that we are doing at local level doesn't become white elephant like it happened before. What is your intention on that, or what did you do in that regard? Thank you.
Makas.
I will come back again.
Thank you.
Okay, Papa.
Welcome the CEO and your delegation of CENTEC. I could see you are busy these days in the media. I'm not sure what they are doing, but you are busy with something. Maybe you'll be able to explain later what exactly you are busy with. Because I could see you are busy. I'm not sure what you are busy with, but you are working hard and so on. But you are most welcome. And your dedication, we are honored to be joined by your good self. And also the CEO from NDDE, who has also just joined us. You are most welcome. I think you can respond if you are ready on the questions. But what you must do, what I'm understanding coming from members is that we've tried to clarify that when we're dealing with DOC, that we need to put a project and touch everyone who belongs to that project. As long as we don't do that, we are running a risk of duplication. If it's a rollout, the first question is, which state entity got that, or who's already have an infrastructure where you want to roll out? That's the first question. Then whether it's Infraco or Centec, it will come up. Whether a post office have an infrastructure, it will come up. The next question is also to deal whether do we have to duplicate or what must happen around those particular matters and so on. But we're trying to move to a situation where we synergize and synchronize so that you don't have state entities repeating the issue of infrastructure or even putting money for that matter. Whereas Centec is also going to do that over service and so on. I think that's one issue which I think we'll manage to deal to handle it as we are moving forward, because really this duplication has been caused to the taxpayers in particular, and to a limited extent because of the uncoordinated manner, it could not even bear fruit maximum, you know, and so on. But it's not your issue which I am raising, it's for all of you, entities within DOC and DOC itself, in terms of forward-looking and dealing with projects and so on. The current method is unsustainable. So you can respond to the member's question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As the CEO indicated earlier on, that we had called a workshop where all provinces, state-owned entities, and other national government departments were sitting with USASA in deciding on a strategy. So when we're deciding on a broadband project that we selected in KZN, Centec and Broadband Infraco was there. They are also aware that even in the Msinga project, we are rolling there. So they are doing the national network in KZN as part of the bigger, broader rollout. And they are not duplicating in areas where we are rolling out. They have noted that, and they are not making plans to roll out there. Our technicians are currently in discussions with them so that we don't duplicate even how we design our network. It supplements one another. They will be going in the next financial year to Limpopo, which is where we are doing this pilot project. So they are well aware. So there's no chance for duplication. Thank you, Chair.
You see your response is causing problems.
I'm not sure, Chair, whether the previous speaker said, when he says that Centec was there or whoever that was there when they went to those provinces, he means that they just invited them to a meeting when they're going to roll out the program, or when they were on the designing stage of the project that they are going to enroll, they invited the stakeholders concerned and then agreed on the area of operation. If you can give me clarity on that. Thanks.
You must give clarity to that. But let me just give you one scenario that's difficult. You remember that we've got a policy on what you call users under service area licenses. Now, you see, the difficulty is maybe DOC will respond in it at one point. Where are we in terms of that? Because it was aimed to address where you want to go. That's what we are raising. Because users were supposed to deal with the area where you are going. And it also was supposed to deal with the area where center could be going in terms of the broadband wireless. Now, the point is, those consultations might be happening, but is that it does not seem to be happening at the center, where someone can clarify where are the users, what happened, why you are coming into that, to play into that. Fintech will be coming in and so on, but then what becomes the strategy or the way forward to deal about those particular matters and so on. So that's why I was saying it's not, it might not be an issue for you yourself only, but you need a broader discussion with everyone else, which we'll do as a committee when we come back and finalize everything else. When we want to tackle broadband penetration and so on, we might have to call all of you, DOC, USASA, Centec, Infraco, under one room, so that you explain to us how do you carry this important mandate of broadband penetration and so on. So that's the part, but you can respond to the direct question and the other question members have been raised.
No, thank you, Chair. That workshop is when we're deciding on the projects. They were not just called. So the basis of our business plan is based on what was presented. So we're basically taking all the inputs and making decisions based on that. With regard to the IDPs, our strategic focus in terms of consultation and facilitation is also to ensure that we empower municipalities to be able also to include the ICT projects in the IDPs. We have discovered that some municipalities are far advanced, like your city of Johannesburg, Western Cape, and then find other municipalities in deep rural areas where they don't have a clue or any future plans for ICT, and we are currently working with them so that through our provincial offices throughout the country, that we start to assist them and to incorporate this. In fact, we are having a session in Western Cape where we'll be looking at all the IDPs and ensuring that they take into account the universal service and access issues. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, just to add on the IDPs, we have made it sure that most of our provincial offices or program managers, they are on the database of provincial departments and municipalities. And in most cases, where there is an IGR forums, the municipalities or the provincial department, they start engaging them. They're invited, even IDP forums, they're invited, they're actively participating. So this is one of the gaps that we have found, that municipalities, when they talk about ICT, to them ICT is like computers in the offices. Even the worst part of it, even the when you get to certain provinces, you will find that it's very pathetic when they don't understand the ICT as it is. It seems it's an office thing. But our officials are making a very contribution to that. They are, from time to time, they are part of those their meetings.
On the issue of sustainability, the very same partnership with municipality, like the CEO indicated, in Ekurhuleni, one of the issues that makes centers not to be sustainable is the cost that is associated with providing the service. They are providing free access to these centers using their own fiber network that is existing. In some municipalities, they are assisting us in providing buildings just to alleviate these cost input pressures. But it's an issue that we are still trying to perfect, as you might have seen in the handover strategy. We're finalizing it. We're entering into MOUs with NGOs that have perfected this, one being Siafunda. So it's an ongoing thing in partnership with municipalities and NGO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member, for the comments in respect of indicators, outcomes, objectives, and the relationships. I think the Honourable Member has picked up on something important because it detects some good performance management. But from the side of the agency, I think from where it was compared to last year, because it was something that we picked up. We've improved it drastically. It's not 100% and we recognize it. In fact, from the side of the board, we made also considerable input just on that issue, trying to get it 100% right. And as you found that it isn't at 100%. And in fact, we've agreed that with all the relevant managers that we're going to have a workshop with a specialist in the whole, entire day just to get this thinking right, because we believe it's critical to the whole performance management system. So I think the comments are welcome. It's noted. It's not there yet, but we think on a larger basis we have, you know, we kind of have it right. But we will, the next standalone, it will be 100% perfect in terms of the alignment of targets versus objectives, outcomes, indicators, etc. Thank you.
Honorable Makar.
Thanks. I just want to ask Nemisa, because I want to satisfy myself.
Yeah, you can ask Nemisa, but they left.
Sorry. Maybe you should merge. You know, no, Chair. You know, I just want to find out, because I want to satisfy myself from OSASA. On page 4, just on the mandate, the presentation. Yeah. It's on the mandate of your one of your mandate, bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is to make policy recommendations to minister and the regulator. But what I want to find out, since the establishment of I know in the organization the leadership comes and goes. Have you done those recommendations? Do you have a data that you can say, for example, last year we have recommended to the minister two documents, maybe on access. Do you have that? Because, you know, Chair, get it? Yeah, because, Chair, I think this is what is lacking. But to other SOEs that, you know, they've presented to the committee, I think they are beginning also while they are leading these entities, but they are also looking. There is an eye that is of a leadership role to say, yes, we're operating in this field, but to look at the trends of the sector, this is what is coming from the sector. While we're operating in this, but this is what is coming in the, you know, in the sector. Minister, can we look at this? And I see that, but I'm going to follow because I check all the strategies and I listen when you talk. I see this is coming, you know, a bit. But I think maybe between 2013 and 2014, this it will come out clearly, the indications and the trends of the set, of which I think I am beginning to be certain, you know, about the sector, because this is what we've been crying for, to say, yes, we have been deployed first, but also tell us what you see, you know. Don't look at things with an eye of I am deployed, but therefore I can't go extra mile, you know, and advise on certain issues. Thank you. I don't know whether I am laudable enough.
You can respond. There's no hand.
up.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, for Member, for raising the question of the mandate. It is key for us that we really go back to the basics, and that's what my point was, to say to get the agency right, there are certain key fundamental issues that must be dealt with into how it should operate. One, the Act has been very clear that we must define what is universal service, what is universal access. That in late 2007, 2008, we've done we had, I think it was ourselves, ICASA, DOC, MDDA, NAB. We had the stakeholder relationship to develop that together. We then presented to the ministry. Now, in 2008, February, then there was a gazette that reflected the definitions of what is universal. In 2010, that there was a definition of what is universal service, what is universal access to telecoms, and we have a subsection that dealt with also broadcasting in itself. And that's when it started to come up issues as broadcasting signal, if it's not part of under service data consideration, then you have a gap. So that was one portion. And that was translated into the National Broadband Policy. As you read it, there are certain of the points that you've raised which were reflected in that. We might not have agreed with the 256 kbps, but we can do with little. So that's the first influence we've done. The second way we've gone through is, if we want to operate in two sites, then we must do under service data. Where do we find them is the access as determined by ICASA. That's a process we've taken to ICASA. We've done presentations to them. They were part and parcel of the process. Now it's upon them to declare it, and I'm hoping this financial year that in the next first quarter they'll publish the list. And in that, what we did was also to talk to Rural Development Department. They came on board with us. They gave us they've got about 165 sites, which are priority for them. We said if they come on board, then we can then look at whether those could be in. Secondly, we went with State South Africa when they do communal survey to stabilize on what is declared and household and the like. So they've come on board as part of the steering committee. We did not stop there. We went into South as well, where we are saying you work with municipality data, you understand them better. Then we had them participate in the steering committee. Centec as well was part of the discussion that they could also talk about issues where their reach is at, because if it's a holistic approach. Fifth, it will be that we had, I think MDD, I'm not too sure Lumko is here, he should be part, he's always our brother whenever we need him. But anyway, he was, and that's the steering committee. It advises ICASA away from a public process, so that when they publish the list, there's this discussion that we could do alignment. So we've made that, we think it's a major achievement based that whatever that we have to respond to in terms of our mandate and the funding, this is what is key. That you declare under service data, define what is universal service and access, talk about the targets that you put in. The two areas that we'd want to make an impression on is post the declaration of under service area. The obligations that go into the license for operators must be something that we all have a view on. And in 2007, 2008, we did provide that review to ICASA again. Now, they then did their own review. Now, what we're looking at is, after declaring under service data, come very clear as to what are the obligations. Put targets. And I know members normally talk about government about government having non-sustainable, as Matsebe has said, about our centers, how sustainable. I then these days quip and say, even when operators have similar problem as I do. All the operators have put up the container phones around the country. The number is about 200,000. And you can tell me now, most of them are closed. Are they sustainable? So we are all looking for the same point. The demand has changed somewhat from what it used to be. There are people with their smartphones, people with opportunity to make a call, some of them. And I'm speaking under correction because there's still a huge need. The 2% of internet penetration in rural areas as compared to 20% in metros is still a huge gap. But we must start looking at what is the demand. So if I have 154 centers, which is a headache, and then maybe, GCIS, I've got 1,000, operators combined, and I've got 200,000 headaches, that we must all find an opportunity. And there are certain coming with new models.
So we're going to take on those models and see how do we then partner with them during the period of universal service obligations. And then the competitive bidding process will then be part of it. So in terms of influence, we think if these policy issues are settled, we are happy because ministry is then able to come in. The needy category of persons gives us programs. If we talk about disability projects, how do we respond to them? That we've given. And we've not stopped there. Where we have not done is that we've spoken to the partners, particularly Miracle, through the National Access Portal, to give us access to the group of different disability groupings that they are representing in their NAP, so that we can use them as advisors to any program that we do. So what's coming out from ICASA would be that, I mean, DOC is a strategy. The strategy will then talk to the regulation of ICASA that they're putting. We are in the middle that the first immediate task that we've signed an MOU with MIRAC is all the access centers in the country, when we map them up, they must be disability compliant, not in a physical disability only. There's certain programs that must sit as a software. It is a challenge we have not done. We've not finished in the first 2 quarters, so I don't know. I want you when you come in the third quarter and say, finish, that's what you said you've done. It's ongoing work, and these will come up in some of the operational plans that we're putting on. It's not something that we're asking for money for. Immediately it is that we are asking for just to have synergized on implementation plan, which is something is a gap. But on disability, obviously we're asking for more funding to assist the need that is out there. So we have done those areas. And responding generally to the center holding, I could not agree with you more, Chair, when you say for us to look at our intervention in underserviced area. If you've declared underserviced area and you've prioritized them and you've agreed which ones are priority, perhaps we'll start to have a conversation that goes as follows. Who's doing what in that locality? What gaps are there in broadcasting? What gaps are there in telecoms? If you're doing the network, who should do it? We, in terms of Section 90, need to invite all licensed operators. But we want to put a caveat. Are SMEs participating? Because this revolution, when it happens, why should communities not have a hand into the model? And the model we're speaking about is we've seen container phones being given to local ownership. And the demand and the support they got was huge. So why don't look at a similar model when you do infrastructure? Because any event, we said it's not doable. So whilst we're doing it, we need people then to give off for the benefit. And this is a debate that we must have, whether there should be a network company that makes sure that whether it's Centec as a decision, it should be the one that looks at it. I'm not too sure. But the point is, I'm looking at declaration of underserviced data, then stabilize the needs and wants. Now you can then come to Parliament and say, you said to do Region 1, 2, and 3. Have you done it? Who's doing post office? Are you there? And the likes. And the model we want to encourage is the anchor tenant model. If we put up a network in an underserviced area, why don't you have anchor tenant? Government must be the first one. Because you have a clinic, a police station, and a school. Why would you then think that there will be other, they would look at the community? You must sustain that network. So there are a number of discussions, and I'm hoping the chair will keep track of his undertaking, that will come back, all the SOEs, and maybe have this debate. We'll really appreciate that discussion, I suppose, from our end.
Thank you.
Chair, just to add on and just to give the quick answer to the Honourable Member, the question was in terms of our role on policy and advisory. And I think, through you, Chair, the Honourable Member, at our last subcommittee of projects and the board meeting, that was exactly the issue. And the challenge we put to management was exactly that. And I think what the CEO has just outlined, for example, that the definitions project and all the issues is outlined is one of those. But if you look at the current unfunded research projects, you will see that they begin to speak to our role of playing of policy advisory, if you look at the issues we've highlighted right now. So that is a challenge we put down into the management of the agency, and I'm sure, Honourable Member, as you go forward, that you will see, as you're quantifying them, you say, each year, that there would be policy advisories coming out of the agency going forward, over and above those described by the CEO now. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof. There are no hands. We're moving towards to close this meeting. But look, I would think that you must help us. I could see that part of, you see,
you have made a bold statement. 2020, full access. That's what you say, if you read your vision. And we are the first entity since we have started the hearing to come with a bold statement. So your statement on your vision, to say 2020, full. That's what you're saying. And you have to leave the implication of that statement. That's the issue. Because I think that's what I pick up. We are the first. We are making a bold statement. The DOC have failed to tell us when will be overall universal access. We are the first one to come bold 2020 universal service access. That's what you are saying. I hope you understand what do you mean, because we'll follow it through to make sure that whoever will be there, that 2020, everyone have access. That's what you are saying. The only thing is that we have not prescribed what type of access you are talking about. Because you see in a converged environment and your mandate now is broad, include broadcasting. Or you mean that even 2020, in each and every part of South Africa, people will receive signals. I assume that when you make that bold statement and say it will mean it will encompass even broadcasting. I'm putting to you because no one else came with a statement. So you are the first one, so I'm using you now as the benchmark. You see, the OC came with 2020, but it was no conclusion. You see, what we have done yourself, you say 2020 coming back, universal access. For the first time, we have such a clear indication what you want to do and so on. The OC had 2020, but it was a little bit shaky. I'm sure they'll follow you in terms of making sure that that has happened around that particular time. But there are two issues I want you to help me. And I want to ask, what is your role around that matter? If every corner and street of South African cities and towns, you've got e-cafe, internet cafes, which are run by foreigners, What's your role as you suffer in terms of developing interpolia in our country? Because I normally raise this matter to say, for me, it's like a missed opportunity by our country to unleash entrepreneurship around that particular area and so on. Whether in your thinking, far distant future, near future, whatever future, did you ever think about that? How do we unleash that potential? Which has been well taken and so on. But if it's a missed opportunity, I will understand that indeed maybe we don't have a role to play and so on. The second issue which I want to raise is that, you see, we've got a problem. But maybe we'll iron out with DOC. DOC is establishing a research unit. When they came to present, you got the mandate to research. That's the problem. We'll have to understand ourselves where the actual research lies. Whether the DOC will be just supportive or it's you who's got the mandate to research in the sector, because we raised that and I'm sure even their strategic plan, their organogram, they are busy with, also talk to the research unit. Now, the mandate to research is with you. If you can clarify, you can. If you can't, but these are the issues which we have to take forward anyway, so that we get a clarity, we limit duplication where they are unnecessary. But they've got the research, they're establishing a research unit. In terms of the legislation, you should be researching. That's one issue which needs to be clarified at one point. If you can, you can. If you can't, it's fine, but we'll continue. I think for us as a committee, important matter, because you don't need duplication to a certain extent. The second issue is that
because I take that you are the advocacy of this ICT, whether it's broadband and so on, because we are dealing with the universal service access. So whatever needed, you need to make sure that it happens. If you know, you can answer. If you don't, it's fine. You don't, but you feel that it might put you in trouble. It's okay. We'll pursue it moving forward. You've got ICASA with universal service obligation, which the primary role of universal service obligation is for universal access, because they must expand the availability of the service and so on. That is one institution. You've got yourself. You can count Centec Broadband Wireless. It's also trying to deal with that. Infracore is also dealing with that. When we had the usual policy, we're dealing with that and so on. Now, the issue I'm having is with the ICASA Universal Service Obligation. Whether is there any chance or a process where we can just stop and request ICASA to come and tell us what is their thinking moving forward about universal service obligation. Obviously, most of the universal service obligations which are attached to operators now are misfiring because they were not conceptualized during the data era. They were conceptualized during the telephone, a voice era than data. So they are misfiring, not because of their fault, because of the change of environment in the country. Now, I just want to have your view that if we continue without pausing and engage on that issue, so that we're clear about the universal service obligation of ICASA, whether are coming back home to face the reality, what is happening, they continue as they are, and the other initiative, where will be the point of convergence? I'm just raising that because you've got a broader mandate yourself as you start to deal with universal service access and so on. That's where will be the point of convergence. Because to some of us, when we look on it, is that you need ICASA to clarify what is the service obligation moving forward. You see, the one of SIM card, what do you do with SIM card? Today's SIM card, how much SIM card? Free, 99 cents, and so on. At that time, that obligation might be relevant, and so on. Now it has just went out, and so on. Some of the telephone centers we are talking about has been closed down because they are voice. People have moved to that. So they become obsolete in terms of people, whether to utilize them and so on. But I'm just raising that with you. I don't have answers myself. But because we are advocating for this universal service access, maybe you can have some clue. If you are not, it's a matter we'll continue engaging all the relevant stakeholders because we need some answers and we need to understand. Because new operators are coming and so on, ICASA are busy attaching they will be here tomorrow. If I still remember, I'll ask them unless I forget. But I hope I'll remember, I'll ask them about the same issue because we don't know even what they are attaching now to the operators, NeoTel. Whether they've attached obligation as they've done with the others and so on, which does not make sense to a certain extent and so on at this era and so on. But otherwise, thanks very much for your presentation. You can respond where you can respond, and if you can't, it's okay. Chairperson, Prof, CEO.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think at this point you're raising some very deep issues because they are strategic and they speak to the broad environment. And I think you're touching on some of the critical issues which we believe and we've been debating ourselves. But let me just start with the one of the research unit. Also, if you look at the types of research projects that have been conceptualized, that have been flowing out of our strategy, you'll find that some of them relate to the authority. Others may relate to CENTEC. Now, the problem is that there's an agency sitting with a mandate pertaining to universal service and access, which is broad and encompassing. We know that there are other role players, and we in terms of our multi-stakeholder model, that we will not duplicate. We understand where the mandates lie. So if the shareholder has a research unit, for example, we will not stop because if our mandate, for example, the issue of affordability is something we've come up with now on the table. We see it as a major blockage, and we want to fast-track the whole issue of affordability. So if the shareholder is also having a research unit, we will work with them, we will work in tandem with them, or we will work in consultation with them so that we ensure that there's no duplication of the effort, of effort, because their research issues may be much wider and broader, but certainly we'll work with them and ensure that as far as those issues coming from our mandate, that there's no duplication and that such a relationship will prevail. But what I've just described touches on the issue that you've raised now regarding the authority. We depend on them, for example, the issues of universal service obligation, CENTEC, Infraco, and how do we coordinate. So that is why our three-year plan speaks of the stakeholder model. It speaks of strengthening relationships, especially with the authority. If I go back to about three years behind, there was virtually no relationship between the agency and the authority. It was difficult. That has improved. But I think there's no clear answer, there's no simple answer to that last question of yours. But I think the agency would welcome the opportunity, if it's been driven by this House chairperson, to get the role players together and start talking about the issue of coordination, how we begin to consolidate and be attended to the mandate through a single action rather than duplication. I think that will be a welcome move forward. I'll leave the CEO to and the chairperson to respond to the others.
Quick one, Chair. The boldness maybe might be coming from the comfort that if all else is equal, 2015, there's an undertaking that we've made to whistles that we have met, all villages covered 50% thereof. The broadband policy 2019 puts up that it wants to achieve further percentage of coverage. So the 2020, we felt that we could be able to reach it, but I put the caveat that it also relates to our areas which we've declared under service that must be covered. And that goes with Treasury unlocking the fund and making us to do our work greatly. The targets on whether we can achieve internet cafes are twofold. One, we did in the targets of our universal service, universal access, put targets to say in any locality or a ward, there must be a center 500 meters away from the location. So that's one area we think would be able to encourage it. It's how it's been implemented. If it's an obligation, perhaps then we'll have a better coordination. Now we'll say you'll ring-fence that area to have that one center. So do you sustain it with the numbers for next 5 years than to do it and haphazardly put it one stall the next day if somebody puts another same similar infrastructure. So we're hoping that we've made our plans and intention very clear that we're looking for it. We've also noted that provinces such as the Free State and then they've got iCafe concepts that they want to put people to use them. We would want it to be an initiative the province pushes, but as well as how do you get industry and everyone else to participate. The football fraternity is starting to show us that there is a concept they are also pushing for. Rural development have got another concept that they're pushing for. It is all these different concepts that all we need to do is now how to manage them, that who puts what where as a government resource that we're looking at. But in terms of universal service and universal access, without speaking for my colleagues at ICASA, I think there's a lot of work that we've done. When we did 2008, the review of the obligations, we gave them that finding. They've considered it in 2009. They've held hearings. Now, I'm sure the operators are as willing as we are to make sure that we cover the South Africans, because if you read what the good sales have made in the Act, that they are willing to amend their licenses if we consult. If the change is, the amendment relates to universal service and universal access and is necessary in the opinion of the authority as a result of changed circumstances in the market or lack of electronic communication services, broadcasting or electronic network services in specifically identified areas of the Republic. So if the law is talking to them to be willing to do that, I think the machinery is what it is that we want the operators to do. I'm sure they'll come to the party because we have that opportunity and that they can change their licenses. And yeah, that's a boldness, Chair. And maybe on the last note for me, today it was a very sad note when one of my colleagues who works on this identification of the other in the service area from the office called me and said, listen, my father is late, but I'm not going to be able to communicate with you.
I come from the Ada part, it is Mtingwevu. I think that's Mtingwevu. Reason Mtingwevu. But the third portion I wanted to highlight is Father Daniel Mwibisa, may so rest in peace. He could not make a call. He says, if I go to that village, I would not be able to call him because there's no network. And I felt it was quite a contradiction it is that you have a colleague whose parents stay in an area that he every day talks about universal service, universal access. And today he goes there. If we want to send a message of condolence, you cannot communicate with him. It is a travesty that until it hits home like that, that how many unnecessary deaths we might be having because somebody could not make an emergency call. And here we are debating whether or not we should be doing it. I think it calls for speedy reaction, Chair, that we should not have these type of being acceptable. So maybe government must be able to push. And if it is that it's just our processes, let's go with, let's push, and be able to reach every South African that they make that call. And I think until this morning, that message, I wonder how many Mwisa families are out there who cannot make that call just to tell their loved ones that your old man is passed on, whatever circumstance it may be. And that's a portion that I would say it is really a contrast that today you could have that sense and you work with it, and it is just a process issue. So let's go beyond process and God deliver. Let the funding, if it comes through, let's put it on focus funding. Put us on the list, then we'll be able to deliver. But we need all this process to be finalized, Chair.
Nothing
from what I said.
Okay.
You don't want to put a lot of things.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
No,
thank
no,
you so much.
Thanks very much. I think we are coming to a conclusion for the presentation. Indeed, there is an improvement, as we have indicated, in terms of the acting and the other. You could see your work. DOC here. Kuben is not from DOC, from the ministry. I'm talking about DOC department. you see, now we are clear, 2020 universal service access, not turning back. We have, all of us have to work towards that target and so on. I'm sure MCDA is also listening, because they might swallow you. See, others were talking about swallowing you. I'm not sure how true there's a truth around that. So when you are swallowed to DOC, you must understand that 2020 they are doom about, and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much, members, and USASA and everyone who's here. Makazi? No, you see, your problem is you. The problem is you. So you must deal with yourself, so that when you come next time, you become a representative of the issues of gender. That's what she's raising, politely, that you are a problem, this five-voice choir in front of us. So next time there should be some change when you come back, so that we see that there is also soprano in the other thing. It can't be tenor and baritone only. It won't be acceptable. So that's the matter whether she is raising and so on. But otherwise, thanks very much. That concludes the business of the day. Thank you. Thank you.